Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From inside the Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta, this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hello, everybody. I'm Will Polonjic. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Thursday, the 11th day of July. 7-Eleven for one more hour. And hope that we can take you through the morning as well, going into the 12th. It is almost Friday. You can feel it. And boy, did we continue the bender that is the NBA offseason with another blockbuster move that we will talk about in just a moment. We're going to talk some Falcons. Our man JD, Jarvis Davis, is going to join us in studio to talk about some interesting topics as we get closer and closer to training camp, breaking in Flowery Branch coming up here in about a little bit over a week and a half, and some interesting questions that still remain this offseason for the team in black, red, and gray and white. But, of course, the big news that came out literally on my way in, literally listening to the radio on my way in and hear this come down, and I tell you what, I was stunned because we had talked about the potential for Russell Westbrook to basically hook back up with James Harden, and there was more. There was more smoke behind that than I think people realized because of the fact that, despite the fact that those two had separated a long time ago from the Oklahoma City Thunder, there was still a relationship there, probably more of a relationship between Russ and Harden than there was between either of those two guys and Kevin Durant, of course, after he left to go to Golden State, and now, of course, is in Brooklyn. But the one thing that I find incredibly interesting is I just really don't know how any of this is going to work between Russell Westbrook and James Harden on the same floor. I mean, and I made the joke earlier, and it's been made by a couple other people. Thanks for stealing my thunder, guys. Pardon the pun. But are they going to play with two basketballs in Houston this year? You can only use one basketball. Now, I know, despite James Harden's initial desires to want to be the guy kind of being the main ball handler between he and Chris Paul over the last couple of seasons with the Rockets, his best, I would say, his best role is an off-ball guard. But what do off-ball guards do when Russell Westbrook is in play? They go to die! Now, granted, he's a very big assist man. This could end up being incredible, but both guys need the ball in their hand to be able to create and make plays. And I just don't know if we're going to see this work out to the point where we have a consistent basis where everybody's all happy and go lucky and everything. Like, everybody can be happy in July. But what's going to happen when Harden's like, I need the ball more? Eric Gordon's like, I need the ball more. Clint Capella's saying the only way that I can get the ball is on an offensive rebound or a defensive rebound. And I feel like I have to dribble the ball all the way up 94 feet just to be able to get a shot of my own. That's the part of it that I don't understand. But the rumors of the dissension between Paul and Harden apparently were more than just rumors. They came to reality. Russell Westbrook going to Oklahoma City, Chris Paul going, Russell Westbrook going to Houston, Chris Paul going to Oklahoma City, a couple of pick swaps and a couple of first-round picks going back to the Thunder, which means that OKC has acquired 8 future draft assets this offseason alone. and you kind of wonder, okay, last one out in Bricktown, turn out the lights. Of course, now the supposition is that Oklahoma City is going to try to flip Paul and that sizable contract of his that he doesn't want to necessarily play it out. It's about 3 years left and 100 and some odd million. And, of course, now many believe that his next destination might be Miami. But why not the Hawks? Why doesn't Travis Schlink kick the tires on this a little bit? You saw what the experiment did for Houston, got them to a couple of deep playoff runs. Maybe Trae Young is the one and Chris Paul is the off-ball two, gives you an opportunity to maybe stretch out the offense a little bit, give some more room and operation for John Collins. I'm not completely out of the realm of possibility on that idea. I know that Paul probably wants a ring, and he's probably going to dictate where his next destination is. But why would he not want that to be with Atlanta? Tell me, what does Miami bring you other than the fact that you have Jimmy Butler sitting there? Do you think Miami is closer to a ring than Atlanta is? I don't think so. So, I mean, why not the Hawks? Now, of course, there's nothing on that. But I'm trying to convince Travis in here and just be like, hey, Travis, maybe call up Sam Presti and be like, hey, what would it take? Will you want draft assets? Would you want Kevin Huerter? Would you want somebody of that nature? A couple of other draft picks? Maybe give you 10 draft picks for the future? Maybe a go-for-it type move? I don't know. Would you want to see the Hawks try to go after him if it's feasible? 404-741-0929. That is your phone number here tonight. Also, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line available for you. And the big question tonight involves the Atlanta Falcons. Which quarterback in the NFC South needs a Super Bowl more to validate their legacy, Cam Newton or Matt Ryan? Of course, Matt Ryan, opportunity in the Super Bowl, lost it. Cam Newton, Panthers have reached the playoffs 7 times, advancing to 4 NFC Championship games, 2 Super Bowls, lost both. In my mind, Cam Newton needs a Super Bowl more to validate his legacy. I think Matt Ryan's legacy is a Hall of Fame destination. Like I think, again, all Matt Ryan needs to do is breathe and stay upright and play 16 games a year, and his stats will speak for himself to get into the Hall of Fame. I don't know if Cam Newton is in that realm. I think Cam Newton needs a Super Bowl to be able to be a Hall of Fame type guy. And I know he's a generational talent, a guy built at quarterback with skills that we've never seen before. Think about if somebody had Michael Vick speed, but it was built like a linebacker. But I don't know if you can look at me and say, oh my goodness, Cam Newton's a surefire Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. Matt Ryan isn't a Hall of Famer now. Many would believe that he would be a Hall of Famer if he had won Super Bowl 51. But in my mind, I think he doesn't need it as much. It would be a cinch to put him in if he had one. But I think if either quarterback ends their career without one, then I think that you have to believe that Newton probably needs it more. Now, Newton had a much greater completion percentage last year than he had relative to the other parts of his career. Of course, the rushing has become something of a major topic in Charlotte and Carolina because of the fact that they want to at least give him as much freedom to move as possible, but also maintaining the fact that they have other parts of that team that can contribute, like Christian McCaffrey. And you wonder, too, how Matt Ryan will be affected by the return of Devonta Freeman. And Freeman, of course, now is part of an interesting situation right now going on with running backs in the league because the entire position is being devalued by general managers across football. If you look at the draft over the last couple of years, if you look at the kind of money that running backs aren't making, it's becoming rare now that you get guys who are like Freeman who deserve a second contract. A sizable second contract. And, of course, Freeman with an out after the 2020 season, there's talk of if he has the kind of 2019 that returns him to form, the kind of form that got him that second deal, whether he'll want to try to command a third and opt out after 20. Now, I don't know if that necessarily is going to be the case, but we'll hear from Devontae Freeman about just exactly all the missed opportunities that he had when it came, obviously, from his perspective. Of course, the other elephant in the room is Julio Jones. He has said publicly that Arthur Blank has really worked with him and ensured him that a new deal is coming for him. So you have to think that that at least eats up a very big chunk, justifiably, in your salary cap. He's the most important, not Matt Ryan, player on the team. But then the question is, who gets the next big deal outside of him? Is it Grady Jarrett, who might have to play this year on the $15.2 million franchise tag if he is not signed by the end of this weekend? Is it Vic Beasley, who is in a contract year of his own, has not returned to the kind of 15.5 sack year that he had the year that the Falcons went to the Super Bowl? Or is it Freeman, somebody whose absence largely affected Matt Ryan's ability to move the offense, despite the fact that he had a year that was otherworldly stat-wise, the Falcons had anything but on the field win and loss-wise. 404-741-0929, all those things on the table. We're going to talk some baseball later. We'll talk some Atlanta United. PT Martinez is heated again, folks, and this stuff is continuing to not necessarily be a good thing for him. More on the Russ and CP3 trade. We'll do some Georgia football. We'll talk to my man Peter Burns later on in the program from the SEC Network, as SEC Media Days are coming up on Monday in Hoover. And, of course, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will be there on location, getting you ready for all of that. But coming up next, one of our big Falcons reporters, and I say big not just because of the fact that he is big when it comes to the talent, but the big man himself, Jarvis Davis, will join us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Falcons reporter, will talk to us about the questions I've posed to you regarding the Falcons involving Matt Ryan, whether he needs a Super Bowl more than Cam Newton to validate his legacy, and some of these money-related questions that the Falcons will have on their ledger before training camp opens in Flowery Branch in a week and a half. Will Polonchuk here with you on a Thursday that turns to Friday overnight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. Back inside the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Will Polonchuk back here with you as we take you through getting closer and closer now to Falcons training camp, a little bit more than a week away, and I need to talk some ball. My man, Jarvis Davis, in studio to talk a little Falcons with us, our main Falcons reporter, on-site guy, spends time out at Flowery Branch, of course, joins us to talk a little about the Falcons. Thanks for stopping by and being in studio with us, pal. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me, man. You know, I haven't been in the studio in a while, so, you know, I had to figure things out, make sure I turn my microphone on and get this thing popping, man. I'm ready to roll. Let's do it, Jack.
So the first question I asked to begin the show, and I know that there might be an easy answer to this, but I asked who needs a Super Bowl more to validate their legacy, Cam Newton or Matt Ryan? I think the answer is Cam, because I think Matt is better than Cam when it comes to the kind of stats that the Hall of Fame voters look for. But who do you think needs a Super Bowl more to validate their legacy?
I mean, it's hard for me not to say Matt Ryan because, you know, growing up in this town, born and raised in this city, and just kind of seeing the maturation of number two as a quarterback and kind of see where he is right now and the numbers that he's been putting up. Because I want to take you a little back and kind of give you a little history as to why I answered the question this way. And that's because Matt Ryan replaced a guy that electrified this city.
Yes.
And that's Mike Vick. Mike Vick brought all type of different types of people into the Georgia Dome every Sunday, and it was an absolute party. And he was a rock star in this city for the time that he was here. And for the way he went out with the whole dogfighting scandal and how everything went down and how public it was and going to prison and pouring salt in the wounds when he put on that green and black jersey for the Eagles and was an MVP candidate for about half the season, going up against Tom Brady. They were in discussions for the MVP for that year. All of those things went into what Matt Ryan had to replace.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to get that Super Bowl, because you can find people in this city that says that Matt Ryan is not a good quarterback.
Which I find abhorrent.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is absolutely, it's just ridiculous.
Right.
It is such a interesting dichotomy that you're faced with when you have these type of discussions. But I would definitely have to say that it is Matt Ryan because of the Mike Vick factor, and because I think that would kind of be like put a stamp on his career as a whole, because I believe if Matt Ryan gets a Super Bowl, he's automatic shoe-in for the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Man,
for the Hall of Fame.
Do you think
automatic?
Do you think that people outside of Atlanta appreciate Matt Ryan more than the folks here do?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I don't want to alienate the people that do like Matt Ryan and love Matt Ryan. They love their quarterback. There are a lot of people like that. But a lot of times, you know, you're going to hear negativity a little bit more than the positivity. That's going to ring a little bit louder. You're going to hear that a little bit more so than the positivity. So I think that a lot of people, because he's not exciting,
mm-hmm.
he's kind of cornbread, you know, he's like white bread, you know, very normal. You know, you can barely get him to say anything.
Not controversial.
Colorful. Yeah. He's not going to say anything controversial. He's going to be the upstanding citizen. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why you get all of the reaction that you get when you're talking about the get effing set or get the blank off the field. When he said that to the Panthers in the Georgia Dome. And people were excited about it because they want more of that. Like, people in this city love a show. They like the show. They like for people to be put on a show. So I think when you have who he is as far as a person, it doesn't necessarily match up with the city, but if you get that Super Bowl, man, I'm promise you he's going to win over a lot of people.
Jarvis Davis joining us in studio here as we talk Falcons on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, Flower Branch, is a little bit more than a week away. You know, I was at Super Bowl 51. I like to brag about that.
Okay.
But
it's not necessarily a good thing to brag about.
It's not a bragging point, but I'm just saying that, like, I was a believer in this franchise and in this organization, even after what happened. And yet we sit here a couple of years after that, and the coach is on the hot seat. He's shuffled coordinators 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously some defensive deficiencies that are probably going to be replaced by guys who were hurt last year, but you don't know. How did we get here to where it seemed like they were on the precipice at the top of the mountain, and now they're on the verge of possibly falling off if they don't have the kind of year in 19 that people expect?
First, I would have to say the loss of Kyle Shanahan as an offensive coordinator was the biggest point for me. That was the biggest point for me, and there was really nothing you can do about it. That's what made it such a big loss for them, because when you do well and you're coming off a Super Bowl run and you're averaging 33 points a game, and Kyle Shanahan is the type of guy. He's the type of guy that is a excellent play caller.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent play caller. For example, I was actually got a chance to catch the game as a fan. Sitting in the end zone, there was one particular time where they had come out in a particular formation. They had Julio Jones lined up in the slot, and they had Taylor Gabriel lined up on the outside. And Kyle Shanahan called a timeout. I'm assuming that he saw something in the defense what they were showing to him. And then as soon as they came out of their timeout, they flipped. They flipped Julio Jones and Taylor Gabriel.
Mm.
So they moved Taylor Gabriel into the slot. So he saw a matchup that he actually liked with Taylor Gabriel versus Julio Jones, because once you move Julio Jones around, the defense is going to respond. Either they're going to have a guy, a safety moving over the top, and he's going to draw their attention over there, or they're going to have somebody rolling the zone coverage and having somebody playing underneath him. So That particular, as soon as the ball snapped, boom, they give a quick pass. Matt Ryan gives a quick pass out to Taylor Gabriel. Boom, take it to the house for 6 points. And I'm just, and from that point on, I was just like, all right, Kyle Shanahan is not a likable guy by no means. Mm-hmm. Because when he first came in, he butted heads a lot with Roddy White. And to come in and butt heads with a guy who's going to get his number put into the Ring of Honor, it rubbed a lot of people in the wrong way. But you cannot doubt what he brings to the table as a play caller. And I think that, you know, 49ers are in good hands with him calling plays. So I think that was the biggest loss. And then you hire two coordinators that are first-year play callers. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was necessarily the right move. Marquand Manuel kind of worked out in the beginning because they were a top 10 defense. Mm-hmm. They were top 10 defense in his first year. But the Steve Sarkisian hire, like,
perplexed a lot of people.
That perplexed a lot of people. And there were a lot of people, and I was kind of somewhat on this train, but not necessarily all the way. Dan Quinn probably should have been put to the fire for bringing in a guy like Steve Sarkisian, especially coming off a Super Bowl run and the way this roster was currently constructed at that time. A
couple more for Jarvis Davis in studio here with us talking Falcons here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You're home of the Atlanta Falcons as we sit more than a week away from training camp beginning in Flowery Branch. They have a lot of different decisions they're going to have to make on some guys. The Julio Jones thing's going to get taken care of, at least per Arthur Blank and per Julio telling us about Arthur Blank. But you got Jarrett. You got Beasley, you got Freeman, who obviously still has years left on the contract, but has an opt-out after 20, and obviously with the running back position being so volatile, he's going to want some money too and some assurance. How do you either take care of these three guys, or what do you do? How do you handle the situation with a lot of guys who are kind of wanting to know where the money's coming from and play the show-me-the-money game with them?
I mean, before I answer your question, I think this is a very interesting situation that teams find themselves in that draft well. Like, how is it that I do the system that you have set up in place to draft players? I draft the players from the pool from college football. The NCAA has a pool of players that I draft from. How is it that I do my job, I do what I'm supposed to do, and then I get to a point where I can't pay the players? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. I don't know. I don't understand
the fallacy of the hard cap.
Yeah, I know, man. It is just amazing to me. But to answer your question, you're going to have to make a choice. And I think the choice is, and people might not like this, and I really like Grady Jarrett as a player, but I don't think they're going to pay him after this year. I think they're going to hit him with the franchise tag, and I don't think they're going to be able to work out a long-term deal. And as far as Devontae Freeman goes, I mean, no running back gets a third contract.
Right.
No big, not a big deal anyway. You're not going to see big money being doled out to a running back that has had concussion issues in his career.
Right.
That just doesn't happen. And there's almost you can make a case for them not giving, shouldn't have given him that money that he has right now. So I think that guys like Devondre Campbell, he's going to be a guy that I think is going to reap the consequences of drafting well, but he's going to go somewhere else and for sure get paid. He's definitely going to go somewhere and get paid. But I think that a guy like Julio Jones, I mean, you have to pay Julio Jones. That's not an option not to pay a guy like that.
Real quick, as we get you one last one here, our last little bit, what's the ceiling for this team? Tough schedule. Tough to ask a lot out of this team with this division, but what is your ceiling for them?
Wow, that's a great question. I think that this team, if the offensive line plays like I think they are capable of this year, I think this is an 11-win team. Mm. I think there's a possibility that they can get to the NFC Championship at least, because when you have Devontae Freeman coming back, and he looks healthy. He's looked healthy in the spring. That is a very key piece that the Falcons missed sorely last year.
Jarvis Davis, you can find his stuff at 929thegame.com. Of course, one of our chief Falcons reporters. Appreciate the time. Thanks for coming to the studio, man.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll come back. We'll react to some of that and also get you in on some of the weird stuff that's been going on when it comes to PT Martinez. He is apparently still flaming mad about what happened earlier this week against New York, and obviously the rumors about his potential transfer. We'll come back and talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. As we come you back inside the Kia Studios, 404-741-0929. Phone lines blowing up. We'd love to get you in and talk about some of the stuff we discussed with Jarvis Davis on the Falcons. We'll do that here in just a second. Also, get your texts in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. That also works for the phone line as well. If you missed what PT Martinez said in an interview in Argentina, let's just say there'll be some questions, and PT has some explaining to do, and he speaks at the training ground coming up tomorrow in advance of United's trip to Seattle, which you can hear, by the way, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com, 3:15 pregame, United at Sounders, 3:55 kickoff at CenturyLink Field. 404-741-0929. Let's go to George, who's listening in the car, and he joins us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, George? How are you?
Hey, Will. You know, I like Matt Ryan. He's a good guy, okay? And his numbers look good on the surface. But what they hide is the fact that in the biggest moments, he hasn't risen to the occasion, okay? His numbers look good on paper, but an elite Hall of Fame quarterback would have guided his team to a better than 7-9 record last year. An elite-level quarterback with all of the weapons that he has would get better results than Matt Ryan has consistently. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, and he needs everything, and I mean literally everything, to line up perfectly like it did in 2016 for him to look, at least on paper, like an elite quarterback. So I personally think even though his numbers are good, you can poke holes in those numbers all day long, and he needs a Super Bowl as much or more than Cam to validate him.
I will ask you one thing just as a quick rebuttal. You know, you could talk all you want about the defense, but I still think that the biggest fallacy of his 2018 is the fact that he had those numbers with an offensive line that basically resembled the sieve last year.
Okay.
So the fact that he has those numbers, and you can poke holes in the numbers all you want, doesn't it say something to me that
Aaron Rodgers has gone 10-6 while being knocked down more than Matt Ryan was last year.
That's true. But okay. Go ahead.
If it's true, then it's true. The point is, nobody hates Matt Ryan. They just don't think he's as elite as some people think he is. He's good. He's not great. He's a bus driver. He can get you there. He won't derail you. But he absolutely needs everything perfect to get you there. And he's not the kind of quarterback that's going to carry a team on his back. And I'm sorry. He's not a Hall of Famer in any way, shape, or form. Without a Super Bowl, he would probably do very badly despite the numbers in the Super Bowl, because people will remember that.
Well, he wasn't the reason they lost Super Bowl. He wasn't the reason they lost Super Bowl. The reason they lost Super Bowl is because they didn't run the football. And I hate to reopen that discussion and reopen that argument, but in my mind, again, and again, this is obviously is something that is a hot button issue for a lot of Falcon fans, and it's been talked about. It's probably the most popular off-season topic that we get on this radio station is the referendum on Matt Ryan. And look, you know, I think you have to know what you have with him. You have a quarterback that is probably wanted by at least 2/3 of the league, if not more. And I think that there's just too much that people don't understand about how important that position is in the league, and how, if you don't have him, then how much worse this franchise looks. And, you know, it's not like you can just go and get one. Because if you jettison that guy, and guess what? You're starting over, and your franchise is basically at the bottom from that perspective. 404-741-0929. Let's go to Quan in Peachtree, and he is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you, Quan?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm great, man. Driving this torrential downpour, was listening to the previous caller.
Go ahead.
And wanted to respond, man. Listen, I've been here for, I'm originally from L.A., been here for 24 years, not necessarily a Falcons fan, but to be perfectly honest, I never got the how unappreciative a lot of Falcons fans are of Matt Ryan. I mean, he's a really great quarterback, and I don't think they really are going to understand it until he's gone. To answer his question, Drew Brees went 7-9 for 2 years because of his offensive line and his defense, and he's a surefire Hall of Famer. So to talk about the record and Matt Ryan was 7-9, if this quarterback, if he was a great quarterback, he would have driven him to a better record, driven the team to a better record, is nonsense and rubbish. That's all I had to say, man. Appreciate him when he's going.
I was about to say, appreciate the call, Quan, and to be really honest, again, so and again, I realize I come at this a little bit more from 30,000 feet. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've watched every snap he's taken over the last 5, 6, 7 years. But I know one thing is that enough, as much NFC South football as I've watched, and again, I used to host a national show that covered every NFL game, and so I would watch every NFL game over the course of an NFL Sunday with 9 TVs in front of me, and Matt Ryan makes throws. And here's the other part of this, too, is the one thing you also notice is how absolutely difficult it is to win, even when you have a good quarterback. It is impossible to win without an elite quarterback. Almost impossible to win without an elite quarterback. The only team that really has done it over the past couple of years is Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles over the last couple of years. People love to talk about Trent Dilfer and the Baltimore Ravens, but because of that elite defense. And you know, Foles obviously got himself a big payday as a result of what he's done over the last 2 years in Jacksonville. But in my mind, if you didn't have Matt Ryan on the Matt Ryan is your ticket into relevance in the National Football League if you're the Atlanta Falcons. If you don't have Matt Ryan, then you are below the Buccaneers. That's what you are. Like don't be careful what you wish for, Falcons fan. Be careful what you wish for. 404-741-0929 as we ask the question, who needs a Super Bowl more to validate their legacy, Cam Newton or Matt Ryan? I think Cam Newton needs it more because I believe that Matt Ryan's numbers will stand the test of time better than Cam Newton's. And I also don't have a lot of confidence in Cam Newton, quite honestly, going into 2019 with a revamped shoulder motion change. The shoulder surgery with him, I think that you're in store for a significant downturn in his performance when it comes to his productivity, at least throwing the football. And he'll probably have to revert to the run a lot more because of that revamped shoulder motion, and I just don't know if there's enough there that is going to exist for him that can continue to be consistent over the course of his career to have the kind of numbers that he needs to have a Hall of Fame career unless he wins a Super Bowl. Let's go to Obadiah in Atlanta. He joins us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you, Obadiah?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
Well, sir.
That's good. Well, I mean, personally, I moved here from Missouri, so I've been here since 98, and I'm watching soccer for a long time. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've been watching Matt Ryan, and I didn't notice how all these Falcon fans sitting up here is talking about Matt Ryan's not an elite player, this and that. But if you go back and look at the other quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger, his first year, you look at his Super Bowl stats, the defense won that game.
Of course.
Eli Manning, defense won that game. You could say Aaron Rodgers did that, but what he
well, the, bit, the let's clarify. The two Super Bowls Eli Manning won, Mario Manningham and David Tyree saved his behind in that
exactly.
game, in those two games.
Exactly. And the defense saved Ben Roethlisberger behind.
True.
So for them to say Matt Ryan.
So did Santonio Holmes for that matter. So.
Yeah, that marvelous catch.
Yes.
But for them to say Matt Ryan is not an elite quarterback, I'd like to know what the couch coaches call an elite quarterback. But for a man that does not have how many Pro Bowl kids under offensive line, everybody that they were comparing him with, you got Pro Bowl and then went into the elite offensive line. Look at his offensive line.
Of course, that's the argument that I posed to a previous caller. His offensive line was a sieve last year. And that's with a guy who's got a Pro Bowl pedigree in Alex Mack sitting there and Jake Matthews.
Exactly. And when he had a decent offensive line, he went to the Super Bowl, and it wasn't his fault because he lost. They call it T.O.P., time of possession. Run the ball to win, throw the ball to score. Dan Quinn did the same thing they did to the Patriots they did last time. So, for them talking about Matt Ryan's not top notch. Matt Ryan had, 114 in the Super Bowl in the first and second quarter, 98 in the second quarter when they lost that Super Bowl.
Appreciate the call, Obadiah. All great points. Yeah, that one to me is just doesn't make much sense to me. But it's a fire starter. It's a fire starter. Anytime you mention Matt Ryan's name on this radio station, it gets the natives a little restless. Some interesting things to talk about coming up. We will talk a little Georgia football the next hour. I also want to get to this stuff involving independent baseball league that has got some new rules that are going on that possibly could be a test market for Major League Baseball. We'll read some of those off for you and see if you want those in Major League Baseball. As we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back inside the Kia studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com, 404-741-0929. We'll continue the discussion on Matt Ryan versus Cam. Who needs a Super Bowl to validate their legacy more? I know we had Isaac on the line, but he dropped off, so we'll get some more calls rolling on that if you'd like here as we continue on the program. I do want to ask about the Atlantic League rules coming up here later on in the show, but I did want to at least, because I promised you the PT Martinez comments. So PT, of course, scored the goal in the U.S. Open Cup against St. Louis yesterday, and that was off of a less-than-stellar performance on Sunday against the New York Red Bulls, and did an interview, apparently, with an Argentinian outlet, Fox Sports Argentina, and he said, if it was up to me, I would still be in River Plate right now, or I'd be back in River Plate right now on a loan. He says, there are no chances, though, of me going back there because that is up to the management. He says, it was up for me, I'd be at River, but there are differences with the technician. It does not happen like that. Martinez scheduled, according to our Joe Patrick, to be at the training ground coming up later on Friday. And I'm sure he's going to have some explaining to do when it comes down to it, whether or not these comments are actually the way he feels. But funny, earlier this week, Frank DeBoer and Darren Eales said, no way, we're not looking at a loan or a transfer for PT Martinez. He goes and scores the goal, and now, of course, we have some more controversy involving Mr. Gonzalo. We'll come back, we'll chat some more, we'll talk more about the Russell Westbrook trade, and which Atlantic League rule would you want implemented in Major League Baseball? Because there's a lot that's going on, and we'll also talk some Georgia football as well as we get you in to Hour 2 on a Friday. Happy Friday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.